You clock out, we clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. I'm Grant Bagby, at GrantTBS on Twitter. And joining me today is Brett Borg from Rivals.com. Hey, Brett, where can people find your Utah basketball content real quick?
Yeah, thank you. They can go to youthzone.com, and it's part of the Rivals network, and they can find everything there.
All right, and, let me give you a short plug. I mean, Brett, he knows his basketball. He's definitely got it in with the program, and he gives great insight into Utah basketball. I enjoy his good follow on Twitter as well. So get all the content you can get if you're looking to really get into this Utah youth basketball program. But I know, you know, a lot of people are reeling after this last weekend. I think it really got off to a rough start with the Oregon State game. I mean, it's already been hashed out, but do you have any, you know, thoughts on this last weekend for the Running Utes?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the Utah was running high with the five-game win streak. Finally felt like they had turned a corner. And then it's obviously a setback. But the thing is, I don't know that they played that bad. Like, I don't think it's something that Ute fans need to be scared about. It's tough to win on the road. Obviously, the Oregon State game was in the bag, and then it slipped away. That's frustrating. Players are going to learn from that. But, you know, they bounced back extremely well while they're at Oregon. And, you know, the way they played against Oregon, except for maybe a 3 or 4 minute stretch, they could have beat just about any team in this conference. Oregon's just that much better right now. So I don't know that there's much cause for alarm. There's a lot of good things that I saw from this road trip. I really liked the way I felt Utah got their bet. They started better than they've started all year in both of the games. The first 10 minutes of both games, they were both shooting. In both games, they were around 67, 68% shooting on the road. And that's, you know, that's nothing to shake your hand at. Like that's good performance by this Utah team. Because they have been slow, you know, at home we've seen them come in and they fall in love with the 3-point shot and they go 2 for 10 and it's a slow go. But I really liked how they attacked things inside and got things going. And, you know, the turnovers, they were really good controlling the ball in the Oregon State game. And so those are signs I see where they're still making progress, even though they're taking a loss. And in this conference, you're going to take losses, but I like things that obviously the things that everybody's hashed out, you know, the dumb mistakes that cost the games, like obviously you hate seeing those things, but I still think there's enough great things to take away to feel like, you know, hope isn't lost for this Utah team.
So, Brett, I mean, give me this. I mean, a lot of people have, you know, really jumped off the bandwagon. There's been a lot of people saying that, you know, they don't even think Utah is going to make the tournament after this weekend. But you were saying there's some things that people can cling to find some hope. So, you know, kind of emphasize what those things are that fans need to look for that show the team is still improving and is still a turning team.
Okay, yeah. So Utah's a tournament team. At this point, it's just about seeding. Utah's in, obviously, you know, and they're going to get a pretty decent seed unless they just bomb out, which I don't see happening. You just want to see improvement because when it comes down to Vegas, anything can happen. They're not going to be playing for a spot, just seeding. So, you know, the things that I really liked, obviously, like I mentioned, I love how they attack the paint. We touched on that. I spoke to you the first time, God, it's been forever, is before BYU game even happened. But when Kuzma attacks the paint first off in the game, then he's going to have a good game. Where he gets lost is where he comes out and wants to start shooting, you know, 18 to 22 foot jump shots. Then he seems like he gets lost, but Ute fans should be excited because he's finally learning, and this is the biggest thing I'm seeing. The team is learning how to play off of Poeltl, and that's what we haven't had the whole year. So Kuzma's found that when the double teams come on Poeltl, he knows where he can get. He knows where he needs to be to get. If the guards can't get it into Poeltl, they're working it around now where they can get it into Kuzma on the opposite end. or if the ball goes into Poeltl, Kuzma knows where to find his shots. And that's something, he's a tough matchup for just about any team in this conference. And so the fact that he's finding his game should make everyone feel more comfortable because he's so athletic. He still has happy feet. And so that's something that is a little worrisome, but the guy can grow and get comfortable. And I think over the last five games, he's averaging around 16 points and 7 rebounds, which nobody should be ashamed of that. That's a great performance out of him. And then the other thing I'm really liking, and it goes as well, is playing with Poeltl, because Poeltl is going to do what Poeltl is going to do. But we've had trouble where the guards have not been able to get him the ball. And that's because we haven't had anybody that's willing to attack the hoop. And so it's been easy for defenses to guard Utah. And I don't know what happened in the Oregon game. I don't know where this went. But up until then, Lorenzo Bonham has been great at deciding he's going to attack. And when he attacks, that just opens up everything. We haven't had a player, you know, Dakari Tucker will do it occasionally, but where you have Taylor and Loveridge, they like to spread out around the perimeter, and it's not opening anything up. But now, with Bonham attacking, it's creating more open shots. You've seen shooters shoot better. Loveridge is getting better shots, and Dakari Tucker's finally getting his shots, as well as Poeltl is more productive. So the fact that Lorenzo Bonham is actually more filling into that role of what DeLon did, DeLon liked to penetrate. And so that's something that should get Ute fans excited. However, Oregon kind of game plan for that. And until we're kind of in the same situation as last year with DeLon Wright, until Bonham can consistently hit a 15-foot jump shot or an outside shot, teams are going to start backing off on him and blocking the pass lanes. But I think that the main takeaway that I'm getting is that the rest of the team is finally learning how to play with Poeltl, and that's something where it just wasn't happening earlier on. And the chemistry's there, and if the ball's moving and people aren't standing, then Utah's a very dangerous team. And that's probably the biggest takeaway is we've had this great talent that, you know, all the pro scouts are drooling over, but we haven't maximized him. Utah hasn't maximized him, and now I think that the players are finally figuring out that chemistry is finally there. And so I think that's what you should hang your hat on for your confidence as far as a Utah fan, is that they're finally learning how to play together. And you can guarantee that Poeltl is going to have a good game unless he gets in foul trouble. And before that, you know, there was the last time Utah played Oregon, Poeltl only got, I believe, 4 shots. And that's just because the ball wasn't going into him. So finally, they're figuring out how to take advantage of such a great talent.
Yeah. So I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, the big concern coming into the season is how does the team play, or how do you replace a DeLon Wright? And it almost seems like the answer is coming now. Is that it's not that you're replacing DeLon Wright. It's learning how to play and have the chemistry around the talent that the team has now.
Exactly. I mean, you're not going to replace an NBA point guard. You know, that's something that you're not going to – DeLon was a special talent. He did everything on the court. And to say you're going to plug in and replace DeLon Wright, you're not going to do that. But we replaced him – you know, we had Bonham in there. We tried with Taylor. But what needs to happen is that, yeah, we're not going to replace DeLon Wright exactly, but the team can be just as effective if they learn how to use each other's strengths. And that is what is finally starting to happen. And that's exciting. Like, it's been fun to watch Utah basketball, where before you were just frustrated because, why aren't they able to get the ball into Poeltl? You know, why aren't they hitting their outside shots? It's because there wasn't that chemistry. And now, or there wasn't the understanding of, I know this player is going to be here. I know I can count on this player making a play from there. And they didn't have that. They were still trying to figure everything out. And it seems like now people are understanding their roles, and it's just clicking.
Well, Brett, I mean, it's nice to see the chemistry, and it does seem the team's clicking better. One big question mark for me as I've continued to watch this Utah basketball team is the senior class. I mean, 3 players that have been stalwarts throughout their careers, players that I think all Utah fans have come to count on for certain things. And just on my end of the stick, it just doesn't seem that Loveridge and Taylor and Tucker are all producing at that same level, or even at the level of what is maybe expected of them. And what do you think of their performance up to this point? And are maybe our expectations too high, or what do you think of that?
Okay, that's a great question. So, obviously, there's no way to sugarcoat it. Their performance has been a disappointment. There's no way around that. If you're trying to talk about what is happening, I think it goes back again to, if you pay attention to what all three of their roles were over the past few years, they've been guys who, whether it was when they were running their version of the triangle offense, when, you know, they were just spot up shooters at the perimeter, and they were deadly. All three of them were deadly. And it always came off of an inside out game, whether it was DeLon penetrating or getting the ball into Bishinsky or into Pirtle and the defense collapsed. It created, if those three players have space to get their feet under them, they will hit those shots. This year has been really different, you know, where you've seen it from Jordan Lovers, where he, you know, at times he disappears. He's standing in the same spot around the perimeter, expecting to make a big shot, but the ball's not coming to him. And that's because the defenses aren't having to work like they used to. And that's why his production's gone up, but it's been since they've been focusing more on the paint and making people leave Jordan. And then the same with Tucker, you know, and I love what Tucker's doing, because Tucker he's an athlete, and I really have hated that he's been a spot up shooter only. I love that the last few games, especially on this Oregon trip, we saw him attack. We saw him penetrate. We saw him crash the boards. We saw him play. He's always been a pretty good defender, but you've seen him really work in other areas. So I think, you know, he's earning those. He didn't get much playing time, and he's earning that as he's starting to change his role. And I think, you know, Brandon Taylor had to change his role because he was trying to fill in for DeLon right at the beginning. So I think it's a matter of these guys. It's not so much that they're not good players, but who they are on this team has to change. And it's harder for them to change than younger guys, because for 3 years they've been able to have the same role on this team. We're now shifting, and so it's hard to break those habits, you know, inside the offense of what they need to do. And I really feel great about Dakari Tucker. Leverage is great if the defense has collapsed, which has happened, and he's been shooting a lot better. Brandon Taylor, you know, this is nothing new. We've seen him throughout his whole career since he was a freshman. He'll score 20 points, and then he'll score 2, and then he'll score 18, and then he'll score 6. So he's always been pretty inconsistent, but what you get out of him every night is his energy, his defense. And usually when he focuses more on defense, which he did over the 5-game winning streak, he was more a lockdown defender. I think he gets a vibe where then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I can hit my shots. And so I don't want to say that they're not as good as players as we thought. They just haven't come around to changing their roles as much. That, I mean, that's my opinion. That's not something I've heard from the coaches. That's just my takeaway, is I feel like they just haven't adjusted their roles yet. And I think, I mean, Lovridge, maybe, you know, you saw him, unfortunately, he doesn't have a great handle on the ball, but you've seen him try to take it to the hoop a little bit more. And just the fact that he's willing to, when they're doing film session, the other teams, they're going to be like, okay, he might penetrate on us. So it just gives him that little bit of a doubt, which will help him in the future.
All right. I mean, looking at the rest of the Pac-12 schedule, I mean, we're over halfway there. You know, March is right around the corner. And so kind of give me, you know, what your outtake. I mean, last time we talked about how, you know, once we get into conference season, we'll really know what the youths are and what to expect from them the rest of the way. We're now well over halfway through Pac-12 conference, like I said. What are your expectations the rest of the way, and what do you think will happen?
Okay, I just have to say, first off, I hate whoever did this Pac-12 schedule. it's ridiculous. Like, here we are more than halfway done. And, you know, Utah's playing teams a second time, but we haven't, like, Utah's never once played a team from the South, you know, the South half of the conference. Like, so that, you know, that really bothers me that you still don't know where Utah stacks. You do, you know, how they stack up against the Northern California teams, the Oregon teams, and, you know, the Washington teams we'll see this week. So you know how they stack up, but what's going to happen when they play USC? You know what's going to happen when they play Arizona? Like, I think it's just a horrible disservice to Utah to have them not know. They still don't know, you know, because they haven't faced everybody, which, so it's all just a crapshoot still. But Utah's done a good job. I think questions have been answered. They're obviously not a top two team. I still think that they have a chance. They need to win out at home and try and get, they need to try to win one game on the road. You know, if you can get that home win against Arizona, and Utah's right there. They're not going to be in the driver's seat, but you know, get that. I think as long as they get, you know, a top four seed and get that bye in the tournament, that bodes well for them because nobody's going to have a guaranteed path in Vegas because Oregon is the best team. Like by far and away, Dylan Brooks has been amazing. Sometimes in this conference, you just have to sit back and enjoy watching great talent. Like it's a joy to be able to watch what Dylan Brooks has been doing, even if it's at the expense of Utah. And so Utah's always had a hard time, you know, stopping that wing player that can penetrate or shoot. And that's what Joseph Young did to him, you know, in Vegas last year. Like, I still think that Utah can win every game. But if it comes down to crunch time and take away Utah's mistakes, you know, take away the dumb, we can't pass in the, you know, get the ball in 5 seconds or, you know, we're going to travel or get a shot clock violation, which Utah fans have seen all year long. Take those away. I don't know who's going to be that player that can score off the dribble. You need to have that guy that can score off the dribble. It's Ben Bonham, you know, but I don't know how Bonham will react to a tournament type or, you know, a close game against Arizona. So I think Utah's got to try and hope for, you know, third. I don't think they're any worse than fourth best in this league. And come to Vegas, I mean, depending on the matchups and who's got tired legs and who's in foul situation, Utah's as good a chance as anyone. Oregon can go down. Arizona can go down. And, you know, I still don't know. I still don't have a good handle as far as the Southern California schools go. But I like to think that Utah stacks up with them as well.
So just to clarify, you're predicting, you know, a 3-4 spot in the, by, you know, in the regular season, and then who knows what happens in the tournament because
who knows what happens because it's all matchups and until you see who Utah's facing, you know, you never know who they're going to face. And this conference, this is the best that I've ever seen the Pac-12 top to bottom. It's a great conference. And so it's just, Vegas is going to be fun. Whoever can get there, because it's going to be the time of your life. But I would like to think that Utah makes it to the semifinals. You know, they should make it, unless they get, you know, Pirtle gets in foul trouble. Utah, it doesn't matter who they're playing. If you have to rely on Reyes to play the five, Utah's out. I don't think there's enough manpower to overcome that in the tournament style setting. So my prediction would be, they make it to Friday night for sure. If Pirtle plays a good four, if he doesn't get regulated to the bench, then yeah, I say that they're going to end up Friday night. I don't see him winning Vegas just because when, Utah relies too much on outside shooting, and Friday and Saturday teams don't have legs anymore. So it's all about who can get to the free throw line and who can get to the rim. And I think that Utah's at a disadvantage in that because really there's one guy who's been willing to do that continually. And so tournament style, you know, four games and four nights, three games and four nights, whatever you end up playing, I don't think Utah has it to make it. Sorry if that's disappointing to a lot of people out there. But realistically, I think they're a top four team in the conference, but not going to win the chance, not going to win in Vegas.
All right, Brett. Well, thanks for taking some time out of your day to talk some Running Utes basketball with me. And hopefully the Utes can turn this two-game losing streak around and start winning some more games. It should be, it's football's over completely now that the Super Bowl's done. It's time for everyone to start getting into some college hoops.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, thanks, Brett.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.